writing his letter to the fledgling little Colossian church. It was a church plant off of the, yeah, right? Because Paul was crazy. He was a church planter, and it was a church plant off of the church that he had already planted in Ephesus. Ephesus was a good-sized city. It was about 250,000 people, and Colossae used to be a larger city, but it was a smaller city. So he planted the church in Ephesus and had never been to Colossae, but Epaphras, one of the guys from that church, ended up traveling over to Colossae and planted this church. And the Colossians seemed to have a great beginning. They launched really well. And Paul has received very positive reports about their faith. Their faith and their love it's almost notorious. Paul writes, he says, "We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven." Paul says, you have great faith in Jesus Christ. You have such love for all of God's people. We heard about it. And then he clarifies that faith, which is so prominent, that love for others that is so evident. Do you know where they come from? That faith, that love, they come through the hope. Literally out of the hope, right? He says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, because of the hope, through the hope, out of the hope. The NIV says that they spring up from the hope. Faith and love originate from the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Now, this thought spurred a interesting conversation this week. Carl and I spend a lot of our mornings just kind of talking away and chatting about either current events or theological things, and sometimes a combination of the two. And Carly was saying, she says, you know, I feel like people understand faith. I feel like people understand love. But it seems like people have a really hard time with hope. We discussed that people seem to be struggling right now with a lack of hope. Christians included, if not Christians especially, struggling with a lack of hope. It seems instead replaced with despair, struggle, frankly, hopelessness. And without hope, we see instead anger and bitterness and division happening within the body of Christ. Carla eventually posed the question, what do you think it is about hope that people don't understand? We talked about this before. Faith is where we stand. Love is our destination, eternity in Christ. Hope is the journey. Hope is what moves us forward in our journey toward that destination. But the journey is a beast. Recently, we've been watching a new show on Amazon called The World's Toughest Race. Has anyone seen this? The World's Toughest Race. It takes place in Fiji. The host is Bear Grylls, right? The, you know, Mr. Adventure and climbed Everest and drinks things that most people ought not to drink, and all into survival. And so this World's Toughest Race, it takes place in Fiji. And I know you're thinking, if it's in Fiji, how hard could it actually be? You know, what is it, like sunbathe, take a dip in the pool, go snorkeling, and order room service? That's not the World's Toughest Race, right? Outside of the resorts, Fiji has some really rough country. The World's Toughest Race, 66 teams from 30 countries are racing across mountains and rivers and cliffs and jungles and swamps and the ocean for a total of 11 days, traversing some 671 kilometers, that's over 416 miles, while biking and rafting and diving and climbing and hiking and rowing and swimming while braving cold, cuts, crashes, and concussions. They race in teams of four. You never leave a team member behind, and if one goes out, everybody's out. The enemy is the wild, the terrain, and the journey. But everyone is free to help the other teams as much as they choose. One team will win. Some won't finish at all. The winning team wins $100,000. Everybody else gets bragging rights. It's a lot like living out our Christian faith. Except hope. Hope during the Christian's toughest race, also known as life, is this. Everybody wins. Everybody wins. You watch the episodes. Some of the teams, they're in it to win it. Some are in it just to finish it. Some are just in it. It's painful to see the cuts and the gashes and the scrapes and the raspberries and the broken bones and the hypothermia. But imagine if you knew that no matter what, whether you cross the finish line first or fourth or 43rd, that you would win the $100,000. That even if you crashed and couldn't continue, you'd still be placed on a massive platform with every other racer and told, well done, good and faithful servant, you did it. You beat the race. It's like playing that old board game, remember Chutes and Ladders? When as you're cruising along and you land on space number 80 and you hit the ladder and you go straight to 100 and you win the game. You win. I didn't actually finish the game yet, did I? I'm on space 80, and yet you win. If you knew that you would be the winner, no matter what, would that change your perspective of the race? You're no longer racing against everyone. You would just be racing, knowing that you're already the winner. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is leaving Ephesus for Jerusalem. He knows he's going to have hard times ahead. The Holy Spirit has revealed that he will be in chains and he will be imprisoned. But speaking to the Ephesian church leaders, he says, "But that doesn't matter to me. Nor do I consider my life as something to even be valued. My goal is, quote, that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus." Did you catch that? That I may finish my race with joy. My race. Paul's race is Paul's race. Your race is your race. Your race is your own. For years, my dad was a triathlete. Running, biking, swimming. He spent his 40s on the move all the time. He wasn't happy if he wasn't moving forward. Ultimately, my dad qualified for the Ironman. Went over to Hawaii. The Ironman, that is a 2-mile swim, 112-mile bike ride, and a full 26-mile marathon. I tell people that my dad ran the Ironman, and they say, "Wow." You know what no one ever asked me? Did he win? Did he come in first place? Nobody ever asks me. Just, wow. He ran that? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 23, Paul writes, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one wins the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. He says, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. But run like you're going to win. They run a race for a crown that won't last. The crown that won't last, that's the Greek word stephanos. That's the laurel branches that they would wear. It's literally a crown of branches. What's going to eventually happen to a crown of branches? It's going to die. It's going to dry up. It's going to get brittle. It's going to fall apart. They would bust it just to win a crown that is going to fade and die within months. And they certainly couldn't wear that around all the time. He says, we run to get a crown that lasts forever. We run. We win the prize. We run for the crown. We run for the crown that lasts forever. We win the prize. It is ours for the taking. You get it. It's yours. Well, then why run the race at all? Oh, you're already in the race. You can walk it. You can shuffle. You can saunter. You can skip. You can scoot along on your butt. But just like the racers on the world's toughest race, you're being watched. And we're on Team Jesus. He's the founder of the race. He's the coach. He's the referee. And he supplies the reward. And he runs beside us saying, keep it going. You can do it. So we run. We run to please him. We run to honor him. He gave us this race of trials that prove that our faith is genuine. 1 Peter chapter 1. For all that he has done for us, we run the race. Remember 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. A holy nation. The word there for nation is the word ethnos. It's where we get the word ethnicity. You are truly a holy ethnicity. You are of a different nature than what you were before. It's why in Colossians chapter 3, we'll get to this again next week, that there is neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free nor man nor woman. Circumcised or uncircumcised, he says it doesn't matter because you are no longer what you once were. You are a holy ethnicity. You are God's special possession that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That is why we have hope. Hope. But the race is hard. Yes, it is. Even in the world's toughest race, they have checkpoints, places to get food, rest, receive medical attention. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. That's not where we dwell. He leads us there. We get the green pastures. We get the time to have the sweet grass, the comforting pasture. He guides me along right paths for his namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, because you are with me. We go to the green pastures, we go to the quiet waters, we get our souls refreshed, and then we find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death. But note, we go through the valley of the shadow of death. We never dwell in the valley of the shadow of death. It is not where we set up camp. He is my shepherd, and he therefore is leading me into it. If the Lord is my shepherd and I lack nothing, if I find myself in the valley of the shadow of death, then I am in the valley of the shadow of death because I am following my shepherd. He is leading me not just to it, not to set up camp in it, but to get through it. And when I'm through the valley, I am out of the valley, and he is with me the entire way, and therefore I have nothing to fear. That's hope. So if it's my race, am I running it alone? Even in the world's toughest race, you go in teams of four. And we run in even bigger teams. And our team captain? Yep, Jesus. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Therefore, since you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. As we walk in him, rooted in him, built up in him, established in faith. Check this out, established. He says established in faith. Established is the Greek word Bebaio. It's a weird word. It means to be stabilized, to be made firm. But check this out. It's a passive verb. It's a passive verb. That means we don't do it. It's done to us. It's what is done to us when we walk in Christ. When we receive him, we are rooted in him, built up in him, and then we are established in the faith. When we walk in Christ, he stabilizes us. And he doesn't just stabilize us. Throughout Colossians chapter 2, in him we were circumcised, verse 11. In him we were buried, verse 12. With him you were made alive, verse 13. With him we died, verse 20. And with him you were raised, chapter 3, verse 1. He did the work. He took the pain. He endured the cross. And in love and grace and mercy, he carried us through along with him. He does the work. The work is done. The price is paid. The prize is already laid up for you in heaven. It's waiting for you. Hope. That is hope. But this world is scary. This race is hard. So, since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Look to the prize. look to the prize. It's heaven. It's salvation. It's Jesus. Put your heart there, he says. Put your mind there. I know, guys, I sound like a broken record. Colossians chapter 3, 1, probably once a week for, 6 months now. But if the record is broken, it's skipping in the right place. Look to heaven. Look to Jesus. Your heart, your mind. When Peter took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink beneath the waves. Why? Because he set his mind on earthly things. Guys, if there's one thing I can't say enough, in the struggle, the one thing that takes our mind off of hope is getting our minds, our hearts off of eternity. We have hope because we have eternal life. We have hope because we have been saved from our sins. That is the thing that fills us up, the thing that gives us confidence, the thing that helps us to continue moving forward all the time. It's the reason we run the race. The race becomes a different kind of a challenge when you know that you win. So we set our hearts on things above. We set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. That doesn't mean we never deal with earthly things. That doesn't mean we never have to handle earthly issues. That doesn't mean that we don't vote. That doesn't mean that we don't communicate with other people. That doesn't mean that we don't go to work or deal with our finances. But that's not the focus. Our hope is when we look this direction. When Peter saw the waves, he freaked out and sank. Because everything is scary when you look here. But when your hope is in heaven, when your heart is already in heaven, when your minds are in heaven, then we look at the things that surround us and we say, no matter who wins the election, guess what? God's in charge. God's in charge. He's already in charge. There is no authority but that which God has set up. So I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid. But what if I get sick and die? You still win the race. The guy who gets the concussion halfway through the race, he still wins the race. Not on the world's toughest race, but in the Christian's toughest race. You don't make it, you go to heaven. Hope. We have hope. And we never let go of hope. Hope. Set your heart on heavenly things, the heavenly prize. Set your minds on things of heavenly importance, and you'll find the treasure now, the fruit now. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God, please bless us with self-control. How much fruitlessness are we seeing these days? It's a lack of hope. But I'm tired. I know. And that's why we race in teams. We have to lean on one another. Pray with one another. Pray for one another. Love one another in all things and in all ways. And when you grow weary, walk. But walk in hope. Walk with determination. Walk forward to our destination. We walk in hope. After the swim and the bike ride, of the Ironman, 2 miles of a swim, and 112 miles on the bike. My dad got 13 miles into the marathon portion, 13 miles to go, and he tired out. He shared with me that the second half of the marathon was more of a walk, run, walk. The last hour was all walking. Always toward the finish line. Always ahead. Always pressing toward the goal. And with 200 yards to go, he ran across the finish line. He was 45. He said he almost beat a 60-year-old nun. When I tell people that he walked the last hour of the Ironman, do people say, oh, he walked it? No, you know what they say? Wow. He ran the Ironman? Even if pressing on means that you have to walk to the finish line with or without the 200-yard dash, Jesus will say, well done. And that is encouraging. That gives me hope. Does faith feel distant? Does it feel cold? Is loving others more of a chore these days? Is it a struggle? The answer may be that we're lacking in hope. Because faith and love originate from the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Have you considered that? Paul told the Colossians, oh, your faith, I've heard of your faith, your love for others, and they are because of the hope that you have in heaven. They spring up from the hope that you have in heaven. Your faith comes from the hope that you have in eternal life. Your love for others comes out of the hope that you have in eternal life. If faith is feeling dry, if love is feeling forced, it could be because of a lack of hope. Your faith in Jesus will be greater and your love for others will be stronger, not because, you know, because of the hope that you have, but because of your hope, as a response to the hope, out of the depths of your understanding that you are saved, your sins are forgiven. You've been made holy and righteous because, Colossians 1, God has placed all of his fullness in Christ, and because Christ is in you, because you have received him, because you died with him, because you were buried with him, because you were raised with him, and because regardless of all the junk and the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations and the pain and the persecution and the hassle and the mess and the politics and the COVID and the riots and the disruption and everything that this life has to offer, you know that you will spend eternity with Jesus Christ as a child of God, as the bride of Christ, and that is hope. Because of that hope, your faith in Jesus will be greater and your love for others will be stronger. Set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, because he is there and he holds your prize and he's ready to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. He's ready to say, good race. I got out on the first leg. Good race. You ran the Ironman? Wow. You walked through life as a Christian? It was hard. Wow. Good job. You win. Oh, but I don't know if I can do this. Oh, you can do this. I already did it. And you already won. Hope. It's yours. The prize is yours. So we do all that we do confidently, because there's nothing to lose. I can now simply run because I love him. I can run because I trust him. I can run with full understanding that I win because he won. And the day that we cross that finish line, our hope will be fulfilled. Trust in Jesus. Strive for hope. And faith and love will follow. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm fired up. Lord, we want hope. Lord, if people are feeling hopeless, then they're going to start feeling faithless and loveless. Because that faith and that love spring from the hope. They come forth out of the hope because of the hope that we have in you. But we feel hopeless when we lose sight of the prize. Lord, we long to keep our eye on the prize, eternity with you, perfection. Lord, I'm so glad that we can be confident that our faith is not performance-based. Lord, you simply lead us through. The job is done. The work is done. The task is completed. It is finished. Three of the greatest words in all of history. It is finished. The race is already over. We just have to get to the finish line. So we do it, Lord, in love. We do it, Lord, in thanksgiving. We do it, Lord, because we just want to bless you for having blessed us so much. What a joy then, Lord, to run. Father, give us hope. May we as a church be filled with hope. May your people be filled with hope. May it permeate through online, social media, everywhere. May your churches be filled with hope that we could love and have faith as you've called us to have. Lord, bless us, your people. Hope. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we lift up your name. We honor you and we thank you, the focus of our hope. In Jesus' name, amen.